This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, April 8th, 2024. I'm Caleb Brown. The Securities and Exchange Commission is ripe for reform. Cato's Jennifer Shulp details how the agency has become less welcoming of public comment, has been overreaching with its rulemaking relative to its authority, and in general having a hard time following the rules that are supposed to govern its own decisions. We spoke last week.
It seems like what you're trying to get at here by offering helpful suggestions to the Securities and Exchange Commission to improve its operations are really aimed at making the agency at once more accountable and more effective at doing the things it's supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. The SEC, over time, this changes, but over the past several years, if not even longer than that, has had issues with accountability to the public and with going through the process that makes better public policy. An important part of that process is getting public feedback on the types of rules that it wants to propose. And the SEC has had a lot of problems, particularly over the past couple of years in that space, with not receiving proper public feedback. But the problem goes back further than the Gensler administration. In fact, Commissioner Peirce, one of the Republican SEC commissioners, gave a speech a few days ago talking about the SEC's deficiencies in terms of receiving the proper amount of public comment and public input and feedback in order to make rules that make sense, that are not unduly burdensome, that are within the SEC's statutory authority. The SEC and any federal agency is not designed to do rulemaking in a vacuum. The Administrative Procedures Act requires this type of commenting from the public and public feedback. And the SEC has been bad at that.
Okay, so I want to start with one element of that. And we've talked about this in piecemeal conversations for a while. One is the degree to which the SEC appears to be relatively less welcoming of public comment. You know, public comments, you're trying, you know, often it's a very difficult effort, but you're trying to get all of the expertise you can presented cleanly before you so that it can inform the rules, make them less disruptive, make them more effective at achieving some stated goal. But the SEC appears to have made it a little more difficult for the public to weigh in?
Yes, and they've done this in a number of ways. The most obvious way is that the SEC coming in under Chair Gensler had largely decreased the time allotted for public comment on its rule proposals. That's a pretty straightforward way to see that they're looking for less public comment. If prior administrations had been looking for 60 days of public comment, the Gensler administration was looking for 30 or 45. The SEC has gotten a little bit better about that in its most recent rulemakings after receiving kind of bipartisan outcry about how bad it was for the agency to have such short comment periods. But the comment periods aren't the only part of the problem here. Comment periods are exacerbated by the fact that the SEC has been engaging in a really aggressive agenda here. There's more rules, they're bigger rules, they're longer rules. And when you couple that with shorter periods of time to comment, you just don't get the best public feedback. And that's a major problem for the SEC and for our securities and capital markets, because the rules that come out of that process are not the best rules that you can get, regardless of what policy aims you're trying to achieve.
So to what extent, you said that this the agenda that the SEC has been engaged in more recently, relatively, and go back as far as you need to, but to what extent are they reaching when it comes to statutory authority to color their rulemaking?
Look, I think they've been reaching a lot lately, and there's plenty of cases in the courts that have that are asking that question. The climate disclosure rule is being challenged in the courts as overreach on its statutory authority. Rules about private fund advisors are also being challenged on the basis of their statutory authority. And this SEC has lost a couple of challenges on the basis of the Administrative Procedures Act and the SEC's failure to engage in kind of robust analysis as to whether or not a rule's costs are exceeded by its benefits. That particular problem is a longstanding SEC problem. We're talking decades where the SEC has kind of failed to live up to its standards in making sure that a rule is justified under its statutes and the APA.
Now, with respect to the transparency of the operations of the SEC, what are some problems, however longstanding they may be, with the agency doing its work essentially without being particularly transparent about them?
Well, that's a big question. But the ones that I focused on in the testimony I gave in front of the House Financial Services Committee are kind of procedural transparency issues. One of those has to do with the SEC's gag rule on settling defendants, which is a very long-standing issue that goes back to the 70s, where a defendant who settles an action with the SEC has to agree to never criticize the settlement. That's a big problem for transparency. People who are at the receiving end of an SEC enforcement action might have a lot to say about how that enforcement action continued.
And we should note that the Cato Institute a few years ago filed a lawsuit on behalf of a gentleman who did want to speak out regarding his treatment by the agency, who was, for the portion of the litigation, not named. And that's kind of you would think that after being let off the hook in one sense and having various conditions about your speech placed on you, it's sort of odd and bothersome, and it seems almost un-American that somebody would have to sue anonymously, essentially.
I definitely say it's un-American. The SEC's gag orders here, I think, are violative of the First Amendment, which makes them, by definition, un-American. And it's a real transparency problem because these individuals are unable to share information about their circumstances and about the agency's operations with fellow citizens or with Congress. And that is a major transparency issue. Again, it's not the only one. The SEC's use of administrative law judges instead of bringing actions in federal court is a transparency issue. Administrative law proceedings are far less transparent to the public and hold the SEC to a different standard than if they had to prove their case in front of an independent federal judge. More transparency problems.
But ALJs, administrative law judges, that is a government-wide problem, is it not?
It is a government-wide problem, but the SEC's use of ALJs has expanded over time and has created a larger problem in the SEC than it had been previously. And I'll say that it's not that the SEC has necessarily expanded. Congress has given them some of those powers. Congress should take those powers away.
And our former colleague, Willie Yateman, has discussed this issue in depth. In fact, has had some influence on litigation related to it. Hello, Willie. Thank you for listening. If I take his point correctly, it is that being subjected to an ALJ process can, when you get into what I like to call is a real court, when you actually get into real court, that ALJ process makes that court a little more biased against you.
It does. The standard of review from the court after an ALJ process is just much lighter. Courts, after a defendant has gone through an ALJ process and the ALJ and then the commission has made findings, the courts generally take those findings as true, unless you meet a very high standard to show that they weren't true. So the ultimate hearing that you get from an independent federal court after an ALJ process is pretty light. And that is not, I would say, doesn't provide accountability to the agency, and again, is a transparency problem.
What are some other areas where SEC, maybe not specific to the SEC, but maybe these are broader problems, but what are some other elements that reformers within the SEC or outside the SEC should be focused on?
And I think this is an easy one. I think this is as close to a no-brainer as you can get. in this context. But the SEC chair and the SEC commissioners are not required on any sort of regularized schedule to appear to testify in Congress. So we've gone significant periods of time where, say, the House or the Senate are run by the same party as the SEC, and the SEC doesn't have to testify. The chair doesn't need to come in and talk about his agenda. He doesn't need to come in and talk about what's going on. That's a problem. And I think having a regular schedule on that front is really important because it kind of depoliticizes the fact of congressional oversight.
Okay. So, but with respect to oversight, we think of commissions and departments differently. This is a very inside DC thing. No normal American should care about this distinction. Just so we're clear, when we talk about a commissioner or we're talking about a chair of a commission at the federal level, what are we talking about in terms of what the appropriate congressional oversight is?
So I think the appropriate congressional oversight doesn't necessarily need to change between the two. The chair and the commission here are what some call independent agencies. But the independence of that agency, when we think about it, is arguably independence from the executive branch, not from the congressional branch. So in fact, I think it could easily be said that congressional oversight of independent agencies is even more important because that is providing the democratic check more so on the independent agency than the executive branch itself. I think we could go down a long, long rabbit hole to talk about the difference between independent and regular executive agencies and whether that distinction makes sense. But I don't think that it should come into play when we're talking about whether or not a chair of the SEC needs to talk to Congress.
Who is leading this in terms of trying to get the SEC to, you know, be more transparent, to be more open to public input when it comes to their rulemaking and be more accountable to their overseers in Congress?
So there's a lot of people involved in this effort. When I testified a couple weeks ago in front of the House Financial Services Committee, subcommittee, Ann Wagner, representative from Missouri, is kind of leading the charge in Congress. But a lot of these issues, as I said before, shouldn't be partisan ones. And Brad Sherman, who's the ranking member on that committee, expressed some openness to some of the types of reforms that the Republicans were putting forward, including requiring testimony by the commissioners and the chair of the SEC. We're also seeing folks inside the SEC talking about the need for this type of reform. As I mentioned before, Commissioner Peirce recently had a speech where she talked very plainly about the SEC's need to take into account public input in its rulemaking process. Commissioner Ueda recently had a speech where he talked about the need to have the agency be accountable to the public. And then, of course, there's a host of other organizations that have suggestions for SEC reform. But we're seeing interest in this topic both on the Hill and in the agency itself.
Jennifer Shulp recently testified before the House Financial Services Committee on these topics. She is the Director of Financial Regulation Studies at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please. And thank you for listening.